and Ed also doesn't like any public praise, but the biggest, one of the biggest accomplishments that he has done this last year is, if you're looking at his report, there towards the bottom, is he got what we're calling the Toxie Grant last year. It was a $4,000 mini grant. And what he did is he saw that there was a problem, that there was an 18 to 23% rejection rate from the tox lot and biological samples, and it was solely on packaging issues. So what he did is, together with UHP and the tox lab, put together a training video, and then hopefully you've all seen the sample, the example boxes that he's put together on the appropriate ways of packaging all these biological samples. He's been across the state, has trained hundreds of officers. In fact, he's going to do it again as a breakout today. But the rejection rate has gone, as I said, from 18 to 23% down to 3.8%, and it's just, what they think some of the problem is that one of the counties is still using the wrong zip code for the tox lab. I mean, something just really as minor as that. So it's just done some really, really great things this last year on that. Okay, IT case management, PIMS. Ron, did you want to say anything?
Just with PIMS, it's basically just manage issues they come up. It's good support issues have gone down because number of users have gone down. Continue to do so. I believe Utah County and several cities are cooperating together to move to a different system. Is that correct, Jeff? Yeah.
Jeff, did you want to tell us how that's going? Any comments?
Well, we go live, and we were supposed to go live yesterday, but pushed out a couple more weeks. We're actually doing a lot of reprogramming of JustWare to improve it. Not we, with JustWare.
Yeah.
So we do. I think I mentioned before, our contract allows our county, cities within our county, to join into our contract, basically, for no cost up front. They just have to pay their annual maintenance fees plus a small surcharge to our IT department to maintain the database. So we'll share the same database. We'll all have read-only access to each other's data, but no writing capabilities. And we will go live.
As part of your contract, did you guys just were creating the patch so that you can e-file, or how are you doing that?
Yes, they contract with a third-party vendor to get that done. It's a patch in the mail. Any day now, it's going to be done.
Sounds monster.
Basically, we're not in a rush. It won't be ready by October. We knew that. But we've told them, well, we're not going to pay anything next year until we have that. So they'll get a little bit. They claim they're very close, and just what we're really good to work with so far.
How's Carpell on that issue, Mark?
Yeah, I'm just going to add, I can't speak for JustWare. Carpell has had significant issues with the state interface. First, you have to pay the state. You pay Tiberius $7,500 just to start the process.
Have the privilege of
building the interface, which we didn't know to begin with. The other thing, their latest problem that they've had, which I'm just going to throw out there, and I mentioned it earlier to some folks, is the offense table. The court's offense table, they have an offense table that doesn't necessarily meet up. We imported PIMS offense table, but that doesn't match the court's offense table. At some point, there has to be that integration of offense table and maintenance of the offense table with two different software vendors in the state, well, three or however many, maintaining a uniform offense table, I think is going to be a real interesting piece, because each of the vendors is going to have to somehow match the court's offense table. I'm not exactly sure how that's all going to function in the long run. There have been significant problems, many problems, not caused by the vendors themselves, but the integration with the courts. That's where we've had our biggest problem. Carpell has integrated with courts throughout the nation, many states, and their response is just dismay with how difficult it's been with Utah.
We
Would you mind just saying that so we don't get beat up all the time for saying it? We just appreciate some help on that.
No, it has really been difficult. Now, and I don't know whether Justware has another in or something, you know, I'm just telling you that, I will tell you that Carpel promised us integration with the courts in January. Okay, we're mid-September, and we still don't have integration. And I had a lot of hope in Carpel. They've done this with lots of states. I believed that they would be able to accomplish it. I've been disappointed. But I think, again, the state continues to, I think they have to do 10 rounds of testing through Tiberia, and then they have to integrate with the state. And they're constantly changing what is demanded.
The problem is not necessarily Carpel or anybody other. Those vendors are pretty good. The problem is that if you don't have a baseline program that's been vetted, written out, if you're changing your own methodology at the same time somebody's trying to integrate with your change methodology, that's been the challenge, at least for us, is that there are elements there because our position and our own it as ours, since they did not speak in a pragmatic way with the needs of prosecution offices and what we do and how we interact and interface with the court on a daily basis, the methodology that they've adopted isn't necessarily functional. At least our experience has been actually duplication and triplication of work in order to make the e-filing work. The thing that's supposed to be efficient, that's really now systemically the most inefficient thing that we're doing. Because, and that cost, that additional cost of duplication and triplication of process is being pushed by the court back to the offices and saying, well, our system is perfect, you figure a way to do it. And that's doubled and tripled our work as a support staff. That's been our frustration is that you've got to have some flexibility or some recognition of what we're trying to do here, and those, they keep changing those, so you can't be playing constant catch up.
Can I ask what you guys have done in regards to your e-filing email notifications? Is it all going to each separate attorney's email address, or do you guys?
It's a moving target. Blake can answer. Blake's been the point person. That's one of the reasons he's here. So.
Should I jump into it?
Yeah, go ahead.
With regard to your specific concerns, Steve, the way that we have ours organized, because we have a variety of teams spread amongst all the judges, essentially team emails where those attorneys assigned to a particular court get the emails and the staff gets the emails from that particular court. But one of the challenges that we've had in that regard is the process that they've kind of pushed over to us to come up with ways to organize those notifications that really should have been automated at some level, and on another level should have been much easier to manage. And I guess I don't know if this is a good time for me to jump into my...
Go ahead and do that.
Okay. And first of all, let me say thank you for giving me an opportunity to present this to the UPC. You know, since the e-filing, for Sully County, since e-filing started back in 2014, we had seemingly been on a journey of never any challenges with e-filing. The latest is with our summonses. We notified them at the beginning of the year, once we started e-filing charges, that their summonses weren't being issued. We didn't see any coming back. They said they'd look into it. 2 months later, they get back, and they tell us, hey, you guys aren't picking up your summonses. We're saying, wait a second, you know, we alerted you to this issue 2 months ago. And then they came back with, well, just give us an email address that we can send the notice of the summonses to. That was agreed by the then presiding judge. We get that email address to them. It goes back to the committee. The committee says, no, we won't do that. We're going to send notifications to your general email box, and yeah, that's populated with a lot of stuff. The reason why I asked to put on the agenda is last month we were invited to present our concern to the Legislative Interim Judiciary Committee. And so we presented concerns there that really highlighted all the problems we've had at the beginning of the e-filing system. then I can summarize those problems in one or two categories, really. You know, being mindful that there are two systems that have to operate, ours and theirs. You know, one of the problems that we've been having with them is what appears to be absences in their design of their system to address certain processes that we need. One of the first problems that we had, they didn't have a process by which to populate the offender information. We had to put all that in. That should have been something fairly automated, you would have thought, leading to this latest problem with the summonses. The second category of problems that we're experiencing is on our side, so to speak. And what we're saying on that, and the summons is a good example, they're saying, hey, you should have an ability to filter out those notices in your own system and then act upon them. When we send them in bulk into this one email address, we're saying, well, okay, fair enough. But our concern with that is they haven't designed an automated system for the summonses. And you would think that with an automated system, you'd have that so it can distinguish that particular kind of document and send it along with that particular case. So the two categories are problems on their design system that we're having and problems that their system essentially pushes work onto our side in ways that do not seem to be efficient, certainly with an electronic system. And so we wanted to bring these problems to UPC and let UPC, one, make them aware as a council of the problems that we're having in Salt Lake County, and have opened up a spirit of discussion. Now we also understand, getting to the modules for the e-filing, we spoke with AOC 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they told us that they are getting the first module together. That must be you folks, in October. But then I've heard from other counties, including Cache, that also has JustWare, James Swink said, they haven't got a module up yet. And so the other overall concern we have is, you know, they urged us. They said they had a system ready to go back in 2014. They urged us to start using that. They urged us to get case management systems in place. But the system that our case management systems have to interact with keeps evolving. And so that's starting to push a lot more cost onto our side as they continue designing. Apparently you guys are still designing features to more effectively and efficiently work with the ALC system. And so that's another overall concern, is that they are spreading this out way too soon. And when they find the bugs, we're left to try to reprogram the things that we purchased.
And we were told that the e-file system is working without a hitch in the rest of the state, and that everything is just, it's perfect. Wow. So I don't know, I wanted to ask my colleagues here if that is the case, because we were led to believe that the problem is with Salt Lake County, that the e-filing system is just perfect with everybody else, where they can't figure out why we're having a problem when all of you guys are all just running smoothly and all this.
Well, the rest of the county are small areas, largely. We have a lot of small areas, and what are we supposed to do? When I called the AOC the first time to talk to them about building the integration, they told me, well, you can use our system, it's free. I said, I understand that, but we want our database to integrate with yours. She said, we'll use our system, it's free. I said, you don't understand. We have to double our input to put it into yours. Yeah. She says, but it's free. I said, it's not free to me.
Yeah.
It's costing me money. She said, but it's free. Do you understand this whole concept?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's true. It's working splendidly because we're doing exactly what they ask us to do. And as long as we double input everything, it's working splendidly because we're paying the cost and double inputting everything. And there's no willingness to say, well, let's have your database talk to ours.
Well, see, those are the kind of concerns we want to hear, because at that committee, the AOC said, number one, where's all the rest of the counties? Must be working well there. And their system was the envy of 48 other states. And we're going,
I doubt it.
Who've never used it.
Just a note on that, I attend a national conference that does this kind of work statewide. Utah's lagging way behind. Other states are much happier with their integration systems than we are. Some of them are integrating completely, all the way across police, courts, and prosecutors, and doing it very smoothly.
Yeah.
Ours, personally is one of the most difficult to work with from the people I've talked to on the national level.
Thank you.
So, I mean, that's the contrast here that we want to, you know, obviously bring to the council, because what they are saying to us is all the problems that we're having are inherent to our process and not shared by other prosecutors around the state, a la the absence of their presence at that meeting.
Yeah. Well, our district court just told us that for misdemeanor cases, for the cities doing municipal prosecution in the district court, they'll no longer accept e-filed DUIs and other types of e-filed cases, assaults. And if they're not arrested on those cases, they don't have a promise to appear, we have to do a summons. But they don't want that because summons are so hard for them to do.
Right.
So,
well, you know, as a companion to the summons problems, at the beginning of this year, one of the first problems we had when we started e-filing is with even warrants. They didn't have a process in their system to process the warrant. So we would file charges with the warrant, and the warrant wouldn't go anywhere. And so we finally said, hey, your warrant, you're not issuing the warrants. Oh, okay. Well, we issue the warrants. And they issue the warrants. And then we said, well, now where are you sending those warrants to? Well, we're not going to send them anywhere. Well, you got to send them to the jail. No, we're not going to do that. We're just going to, I mean, it was pretty clear that they were still trying to figure out how to design the system as they were implementing it. And so those are the never-ending challenges we've had. But following our meeting last month with the Legislative Interim Judiciary Committee, we then got contacted by the Legislative Auditor, I guess. And they contacted us with concerns about individuals in jail being released erroneously because warrants weren't getting to the jail. Indeed, that was a problem at the beginning of the year because they weren't being sent to the jail, and we had to engage in a conversation with the OC to tell them why that had to happen, because they weren't going to even do that. They weren't even putting them on UC just initially. So, you know, this is that issue that's happening.
And also, we also had the glitch, like if you had two O's in the last name of the defendant, it wasn't even being locked into, you couldn't even file it.
They said because the O-N in the last name gets mistaken by the system for on, the word on. And so it caused the system to do
so. So if you have a last name of a defendant with O-N, with two O's in the last name, the system was not even picking it up. You thought you had filed it, but it had never been picked up.
So what we found, just for humor on this, what we found out about that is we then tried to file Anderson after we filed Mondragon.
Yeah.
Okay? Anderson went, and no problem, and of course there's been a lot of Anderson's filed, okay? Not a lot of Mondragon. So we had to conclude that, oh, the problem is double O in the name, Mondragon. That's what, no, that's human. But we don't know any other answer because that's what they're telling us. I mean, and it gets silly.
Well, that's it. I think every other state should envy that. I think that's great.
Well, yeah, I'll bet they want to. But for instance, here's another little problem. The court themselves, the judges themselves, cannot access the e-filing system. They told us back in 2014, get rid of your paper processes, you won't get paper anymore. When the summons issues come up, get rid of paper, we're not going to print those out anymore. But yet the next day, we get paper notices of hearings being set, emails of certain events happening. We're going, well, wait a second, this can't be right. Oh, no, that's right. Well, what's right? No, the judges can't access the e-filing system. Huh? Yes, they can't access the e-filing system when their reason for doing so comes from a third party, like Criminal Justice Services, AP&P, all these other agencies that have to interact with our process. Those folks were not designed into the system. So when they have something to file, they've got to file it in paper, because they've got to file it in paper, the judge has to file it in paper, and therefore a paper notice goes out. We're going, well, really? You're kidding me. And thus, they're going to say, well, that's a problem on your side. Well, okay, that's a problem on your side, I suppose. But it's a little disingenuous to say that when the problem really starts from the lack of your system to accommodate a judge sending out a notice. So, you know, those are the problems we're having. And now we're before the legislative or the auditors, and we're giving them information. But, you know, as a group, we wanted to share this to see whether or not others are having the same experience, because indeed the smaller counties may not be heard individually, but may be heard collectively.
Invite us to the meetings. I'll come.
Well, and particularly when the AOC says, geez, where's the rest of the counties? Oh, they must invite anyone. Yeah, well, and that was indeed, that's what the comeback was. Well, they weren't invited, okay? And then what came out is, well, but we are the envy of 48 states. Okay. So this is the property filing system that we're tackling right now. And, you know, hopefully, here's the bottom line. We just want the AOC to communicate with us about some of the things they're doing. Allow us to give some input. One of our biggest gripes is that we weren't invited from the design process. Had you invited the prosecutors and the defense committee, you probably would avoid a lot of these problems. Of course, they said, well, we begged you to be involved.
They, by the way, they, just so you know, they are claiming that whatever limited conversation they had with the UPC as the justification of inviting us to participate. So just FYI.
Okay.
And the conversation that they had vis-a-vis PIMS was the invitation for participation in building this. So that's what we were told, that since the contact was made with UPC, prosecutors were invited, we didn't choose to participate. So just FYI, okay? That's the rationale.
This was perhaps the most troubling comment, though. When we're leading up to this meeting, we get a comment from a judge. Better resolve with the AOC because they got a lot on you.
Yeah.
They got a lot on you.
Yeah.
What does that mean? We're going, well, now that's the whole reason why we're having this problem. This shouldn't be an adversarial process. It should be an IGOTCHA process. This should be a collaborative process, which we've been trying to encourage them to do, and it's been one-sided. But apparently the gotcha is the AOC is going to try to say, well, Salt Lake County issues more warrants and summons than any other county in the state, and so they're going to try to, you know, they think that we got invited because of the summons issue. And they think the audit's occurring because of the summons issue. They don't realize it's something else completely.
The system.
So, anyhow, that's where we're at right now with the AOC and the legislature, and we wanted UPC to be aware of that, to chime in, to make us aware of any other concerns they're having. If you want to be invited to these meetings, we'd love to have you there. We'd love to have some response to those kind of lofty claims, because what appears to be going on right now is they're just putting up this great facade with this great system while we all suffer the burdens of its inadequacies.
So I was going to say, so those that are interested in going, I mean, should they contact somebody to get on an invite list? Or
well, and I guess communicate with me, then, because my thought is, and that's what I'd like to have a thought discussion about, what do we do? You know, whether you folks go back to your respective legislators, because it's up there now. You go back to your respective legislators and voice concern, or you go to the meetings, we ask to have a meeting with the AOC to address these concerns, see if they'll give it to us. I mean, they don't seem to give it to us until they realize that they've got another problem. You hear footsteps coming from a different direction, then all of a sudden they want to meet with us. But that's the kind of, I think, first step we may want to take, is just a discussion of how we should start to approach this more formally as prosecutors across the state, and as UPC as that body that represents all of us.
My most recent, just so you know, my most recent issue with them on this was post-conviction relief. An attorney filed post-conviction relief in a case. The court has the responsibility to go in, look at the petition, see if it has any merit to it or not, and then they're required to serve. And if you read through the rules, it's either by mail, snail mail, which is in the rule, or by personal service to my attorney's office. Instead, what we get was an email, not from the automated system, which goes into a folder we have in our system, but it's from an individual clerk's email address, which goes to the spam filter. Yeah. And so we never got served with the post-conviction relief summons first file response. I found out about it when the attorney was calling my office 30 days after we were supposed to have responded.
It's nice to know what actually happens, because we have the same problem, but we don't know what happens. It just never gets acted upon.
Yeah, I went back through all my old filters to find where we've been served. And I found the email, but I know exactly who it came from.
I know the clerk. For it, right?
I had to go find it.
After realizing that it had been missed someplace.
That's right.
We have the same problems. We have problems with motions to dismiss. We have problems with fugitive cases on those. They just don't get acted. People are staying in jail because they just don't get acted upon.
Or even filing. We had a child sexual abuse case. It took us 3 days to get it filed. Finally, we couldn't wait anymore, and we ended up having to go down, find a judge, and file it like with a paper filing, because we could not risk having this guy be released and be out in the community. We've had cases of where we're trying to log and where we thought we had filed, and people have been released because their system didn't integrate. So I've got people being released out there. Once we were putting warrants out on protective orders, those were not being logged up onto the statewide system.
Your PC statement. Now, we, our county, we never, once someone's brought into jail, a PC statement is filled out, given to the jail. The jail then has 24 hours to get that to the judge, to the magistrate.
For bail, right? For bail set.
Yeah, well, to justify his holding in jail. If he doesn't get that within 24 hours, if it's not signed by a judge within 24 hours, that person has to be released. So the judges get it. They, in their email, they sign it. They then send it back to the jail, but the court never receives a copy because it went to the judge's email, and the judge can't access e-filing. He can't put that in the system, so the court never receives a copy of the PC statement. It's the jail who keeps the PC statement, and if the court wants a copy or defense attorney wants a copy, he has to get from the jail.
If I recall, Rob, I'd be envious of that.
Should I reach out to somebody at the AOC and say, okay, we want to sit at the table, would that be their PC, which is
at this point, it's Becker and Wall and Schwimmer. Because they're now involved in this, given where it's at. One of our specific concerns has been the lack of communication from our district court administrator. She doesn't respond to emails. If she does, it's too late, 2 weeks later after the event that we're trying to avoid has already occurred. Not telling us what's happening until it actually happens, and then we find out about the third parties. I mean, it's just a lot.
And I think we just need to have an look. Here's the thing: we're moving towards a digital age. Other states are already doing it. We have to do it. In theory, this is supposed to give us a certain level of efficiency. Okay, and I would just like to have an honest assessment of where we are with this. Has this made our life as prosecutors efficient? Has it made it easy? Or are we picking up unfunded duplication of this process? I just want an honest assessment of it because I want us to fix it, okay? So, it's not about blame, it's about we just can't do business as usual. So I think taking an honest assessment of all our offices of what we are doing would be a good sort of a honest conversation about what we need to fix in the system, you know?
And so, who has that conversation? I mean, that's what I'm saying is, do we want to send a representative from this body to go and talk to them?
I think there's two things. First, we need to at least talk to each other to find out what is working, what is not working, what the real cost is, and what the inefficiency is, so we can at least create at least a data of that.
Do you want to maybe put that together for the next meeting, next council meeting?
And we can.
Well, when's the next meeting?
January.
I think it might be a little too late because the legislative auditor is already engaging with us, and so they're, it may be, like I said, I don't know what the next step should be, so I'd rather
What about the county executive meeting in November?
We could do it by then. That would be up in UAC when we're up in St. George.
Done.
Yeah. That would be, I think we probably shoot for that.
And we need anybody.
Yeah.
And we may want to then, I sense that I probably need to inform the auditors about this initial conversation, what we're trying to do here, so that they can be aware of that, so they don't, if you will, close out the audit without getting input from across the board. And so if you're okay with that, I'll let them know that I have this conversation.
And the auditors are called, I talked to one of them.
Yeah, but it was very narrow.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was very narrow. I added.
Okay.
That's because I'm talking that way.
Martinson or Martindale or Jesse?
I can't. It was Jesse I talked to. But, they are making some outreach, but I agree, it's not very broad.
Was it just on the warrants and the falsity?
Yeah. No, it was on.
Our impressions of e-filing, wasn't it? That's what our office was
really asking me. It's
our office, yeah. I had to follow up. He said, I think the first question was, are you able to use the e-filing system? I mean, is it working? And the answer to that is, well, yes, but You know, and then that's when I followed up with some items. So I don't think that the, I think the take back to the auditors is